together. Drive that funky soul. Get up, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. They're doing it down in Nassau. Drive that funky soul. They're doing it by the beach. Driving that funky soul. New York, get yourself together and drive your funky soul. Let your body pop and let your feeling fold. Raise up, get yourself together and drive that funky soul. When I say Sagittarius, drive that funky soul. When I say Pisces, holler and drive your funky soul. When I say Gemini, drive that funky soul. Breathe up, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. Slaughter, get on up, get yourself together, drive that funky soul. Leo, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. Aquarius, get yourself together, and drive that funky soul. Get yourself together, and drive that funky soul.
Greetings, this is Ia of J-Stone Vintage Soul. Baba, Lauren the Jazzy Leo, and I will not be in the studio with you today, but we bring to you an interview recorded this weekend with the awesome and amazing Roseanne Cash. In the interview, we talk a little bit about the National Day of Racial Healing and also about her single, Promised Land and the Killing Fields. For more information about the National Day of Racial Healing, please go to Eventbrite, National Day of Racial Healing in the state of Arkansas. Thank you and enjoy.
Promised land. 50 years away from here. promised land. Pay and torches burn and mothers weep. Deliver us from judgment day.
Don't it feel like home? Don't it feel like we belong? You gotta lift your head and raise your hand and crawl into the promised land. Don't it feel like home?
Crawl into the promised land.
All right. Hello, everyone. We are Kwame and Clarice Abdul-Bey. We're the co-conveners of the Arkansas Peace and Justice Memorial Movement, and we want to welcome you to this very important day, the National Day of Racial Healing in the state of Arkansas, yes. January 19th, 2021 it is, right?
2021. This is our second event. We celebrated it for the first time last year, and so we're really excited.
As a community, yes. in Arkansas. So mm-hmm. We have so many people that we want to thank that have been a part of planning this from the University of Central Arkansas and the Arkansas Municipal League, the yes. Urban League, the NAACP, UALR, the Clinton School. I think the list goes on
and on. And we have those sponsors that will be, you'll see their
Let's
logos.
Let's show them at the end of this, yeah, so everybody we'll can that. See the logos.
But today we have our very special guest, and we're very, very excited and honored to be on a call or a Zoom or talk with the Roseanne Cash. And I know she doesn't like all the hype, but
oh no, bring it on.
Yeah. we're just really excited to finally get a chance to meet you. The list goes on. You're a Grammy nominated writer, composer, performer. You're a best-selling author, an essayist, visionary, all kinds of good things. You're so many things. And then you're also the daughter of Johnny Cash. So, but the things that we love and admire, we really appreciate the abilities and the, like what you brought and what you brought to the world. We really appreciate that. And we're really honored to be, just to be thought of as an organization. It's just overwhelming in a way when you think about it that, you know, we're from Arkansas, born and raised, both of us. And, our generational lives and the things that have happened throughout our lives and our parents and our, great grandparents and the things that we've experienced really shape who we are. And so when we go about our lives kind of just doing what it is that we do and what we think we should do, we don't think about really that people are truly watching us or thinking about how our work impacts others. It's just sort of a natural call. Mm-hmm. And so when we got the call from Danny Kahn about,
well, first it was an email.
It was
an
email.
It was like some prank email, yeah, where you open this and then somebody in Zimbabwe gets all of, yeah, your
bank all of your information. and it was surreal when we were like, that's really that. So that is her. Yeah. So we were both very excited about it. And it was, like I said, it was sort of surreal because we thought, you know, what if we, you know, we're doing these things, but you don't really think about that the work that you really, that you do impacts someone. So we do have that question. Like, we're honored that you chose our organization to have proceeds from the single that you just made.
That we called, just listened to.
Yes, Promised Land and The Killing Fields. And can you just kind of tell us, because we've been wondering, why us? Why the Arkansas Peace and Justice Memorial Movement? And, you know, how did that happen?
What happened to you during the shutdown that caused you to pick up?
That's funny. Well, first, thank you for that welcome. That's very kind. And I'm glad to finally see both of you sort of in person.
Yeah.
As in person as we get these days. And how did this happen? Well, I started my own kind of waking up to racial consciousness and the need for reparation and reconciliation was kind of a ringing bell in my head for a long time. And when I started going back to Arkansas a lot, when my dad's boyhood home was purchased by Arkansas State University, yes. And the family, because he's an Arkansas native son, you know,
yes.
And my grandparents and my great grandparents. So I wasn't raised there, but I do feel an affinity for Arkansas because of my ancestral history. So going back to Arkansas more and more over the last 12, 13 years, I just started to feel a deeper connection and learn more about the history. And I started talking to Dr. Ruth Hawkins at Arkansas State University then about lynchings and about the history of racial injustice in Arkansas. And she said the most moving thing to me, I can hardly think about it without tearing up. She said, I keep a list of lynchings on my desktop, on my computer, just so I remember.
Wow.
And I didn't even, I mean, and she's a white woman, she's not a black woman, and I didn't know about you then. I don't think you existed then, actually.
No.
So that was just a ringing bell in my head. And then for my birthday in 2019, I wanted to go to the Legacy Museum and the memorial in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yes.
You know, founded by Brian Stevenson, the Equal Justice Initiative. So I don't know why I wanted to do that on my birthday. It's not like a happy, fun thing to do.
Yeah, because that's a heavy visit. That is a really heavy visit.
Yes.
It was so heavy. And I visited other friends in Florence, Alabama, and in Marion, Alabama, but that's where we ended up. And my husband said to me when we were leaving there, he said, every person who runs for elected office in this country should be required to go here first. Wow. And that rang another bell in my head. And then, of course, last summer with the protests and the Black Lives Movement, I was profoundly moved. And that's when I wrote this song, The Killing Fields. And I was... Clarice, you said something about who we are connected to and where we come from shapes who we are. It also shapes who you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about that a lot. What threads do I keep and which ones do I cut? Mm-hmm. And there was a thread of racism in my ancestors, not in my father. Mm-hmm. He broke the chain first, but before that, and that was profoundly painful to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought there needs to be reparation inside my own DNA.
Mm. Wow.
Wow, yes.
Because you carry ancestral memories with you, you know? And it was like a wound and a toxicity, mm-hmm. that I wanted to root out of whatever was left, whatever had reverberated from my own ancestry. So after when I wrote The Killing Fields, it hit me that any money that came from it, which is not going to be very much because nobody buys records anymore, but whatever it was, as a gesture of that kind of reconciliation and reparation within myself, should go to someplace in Arkansas. So I looked up online and I found you, and then I found that you were connected and sanctioned by the Equal Justice Initiative. And I said, well, that's it. So I have to connect myself too. Yeah. And that's how we found you. So I asked my manager, Danny Kahn, to write you. And that's when you went, oh, is this a Nigerian prince? But no, it was us.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You know, indeed. We're very fortunate to have a partner like EJI. The Equal Justice Initiative.
And they've sent a lot of people our way.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're really very fortunate and to have their support and be able to just kind of talk through a lot of things. Arkansas being third highest in racial terror lynching.
492 documented.
Right.
Which means it's a lot more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. And in our relationships with historians here, we also utilize the help of students to locate genealogy and things like that. There is a lot more.
Yeah.
But we, you know, when he and I went, and it was initially our daughter, who was homeschooled at the time, was graduating from high school, and she and I wanted to go, and it was kind of part of her writing.
Her final paper.
Right. And so we took a family trip. Our son.
To Montgomery?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh.
It was the weekend after the grand opening.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he was five. He's five now, but he was what, about three?
No, he's about two.
He was about two.
Yes.
And we went, it was raining. It rained the whole day when we were out there, but it was really fitting that it was raining.
Yeah,
because it was able to, the rain was, for me, was able to mask all of the tears and all of the hurt, and I couldn't see really the faces of other people, and they couldn't see the tears that I had. And it, you know, I wrote about that afterwards, because I had to put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I said, it was just really, it's really fortunate the connection we have with EJI and then other partners that we're able to connect with, Just Communities of Arkansas being one of our partners who've really been a support. And Donald Wood is the executive director, and he also went to EJI before we actually connected with him. And he was looking to do it, and then EJI connected us with him. So it's just been a blessing. And
so
with The Killing Fields, that
it's a powerful that trip, anthem.
It is. That trip is what inspired the writing of that and then connected to us. But you know, when we were listening to it, it was just so, it was moving and literally transporting me to everywhere you went.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, you know what I heard when I first listened to it, the first time Danny sent it to us, even before it was publicly available, when I listened to it, when we left the Legacy Museum and drove back to Little Rock, between Montgomery and Memphis, we were totally silent because it was so heavy on our minds.
Until we got to Memphis.
Yes. But when I heard The Killing Fields, I'm like, this was the soundtrack leaving Montgomery to get to Memphis.
You're right. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's intense.
If you think about it, if a movie was written, that song will be right in there between Montgomery to Memphis.
Yes.
We did not.
Now that's actually a good song title, Clarice.
There you go.
Montgomery to Memphis.
Yes.
You guys, are you sure you're recording? Because I don't see the red light.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
You're good. Okay. Well, shall I tell you a little bit about the Killing Fields?
Yes, please.
So, as I said, going down to Montgomery, you know, that was weighed heavy on my heart. And then the protests of last summer, it was like, I don't know, it was like something cracked open, some light bulb. And so the song is a journey into the past. You know, it starts with, I grew up in California, and my husband grew up in New York City, and he did work for his father in the Navy Yard, in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Mm-hmm. So we are on separate coasts, and we meet, and there was this communion between East and West. But I had to find a communion in myself between North and South, because when I left the South, I really pushed away hard. I didn't want anything to do with it. It felt very oppressive to me. And then starting with coming back to Arkansas, like I said, with my dad's boyhood home project, it started to, that in itself started to crack open my heart because of the people I knew, the characters I met, and the geographical profound resonance of certain places that aren't like anywhere else in the world, right? Yeah. So in the song, starting with the East and West meeting, and then it was like going into a dark tunnel, the center of the song, to imagine those lynchings and to imagine a young man running through the fields, you know? Yeah. And that, where are the saints who look over him? Where is the God who looks over him? There, and the saints that observe this, and the God that observes this with so much grief, you know. I sometimes think that God is hurt by what we do.
Yes.
You know? And that St. Margaret, I actually looked up, you know, who is the patron saint of the Scots, because my father's ancestry is Scots, is from Scotland. Mm-hmm. And it was St. Margaret. Mm-hmm. So I put her on the edge of the fields observing this. And that, and you know, that line about it can't be healed with burning it away or with the tears that the mother cried. You can't get rid of it.
Right.
You just can't get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So then I had to end up with saying, it's not who I am now. I have, that thread has to be cut.
Yes.
That was so, wow. We both just kind of looked at each other like, because we understand it was like a proclamation.
Yeah, it is like a proclamation.
Song, exactly right. Said, you know, you just kind of, you took, just kind of said, we can't do it
anymore.
We're not going to do it, and it won't be done anymore. Like, it stops. It stops now.
It has to stop now. That's exactly what I felt. Like, there is no room in the future for this.
No.
No place.
Right.
No place in our hearts, no place in our children, no place in the country.
Yeah.
And I like the way that you guys both are in agreement on how it stops now, nothing in the future. But I also want to let all the listeners know that you're not new to this party. You know, when you started working with ASU for your father's boyhood home, you and your husband, John, started this journey that you even documented in an entire album, where you visited Emmett Till, the grocery store where Emmett Till's murder began. So you've been what I like to call my wife, very empathetic. You've had a lot of empathy and searching for meaning over, I guess, the last decade or so. Can you tell us about this journey that you've been on?
Well, that's very true, Kwame. I when going back to Arkansas for my dad's boyhood home, like I said, it cracked something open in my heart. And then I wanted to feel my Southern history. Like, what does it mean in totality? Not just the good stuff, but the really dark stuff. Mm-hmm. So all of the trips we took through the South, starting in Florence, Alabama, where a dear friend of mine lives, Natalie Channon, and then going through the Mississippi Delta, going to Bryant's Grocery, where Emmett Till made this very innocent but fatal error, mm-hmm. and the Tallahatchie River, the Tallahatchie Bridge. And then touching the richness also of the beauty of the music and literature that came out there, going to Oxford, Mississippi, to William Faulkner's home, going to Robert Johnson's grave, and where all the great blues musicians picked cotton in the day and played in juke joints at night, you know, Dockery Farms and Cleveland and all of the Cleveland, Mississippi and all of these places, and then across the river back into Arkansas. So we did document that, and that we documented something else that was profound to me about my connection and the healing of Southern and Northern, because I've lived in New York for 30 years, you know, mm-hmm. and both of my families fought. I mean, my family fought on both sides of the Civil War. Mm. So North and South. So that to me was the biggest metaphor of all.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we wrote a song called When the Master Calls the Roll. Mm-hmm. And I never said, the character in this song, I never said whether he was Confederate or Union, because I wanted to leave that question open. Yeah. So that whole album, The River and the Thread, documented that. We ended up winning 3 Grammys for that album, which, you know, I think
an amazing project.
Thank you. I think other people recognize too, you know, the journey into your past and into your geography that still resonates for you.
Yeah.
So that started it. You're right. That started it. And then the Boyhood Home Project, talking to Ruth Hawkins at ASU about the lynchings, EJI, the killing fields, the protests, and finding you guys.
So what do you, in your mind, think is that the nation, especially in this day and this time, because just recently we have the American history books have been totally rewritten just within the last couple of weeks or so. Mm-hmm. But in this day and this time, what do you think that Americans should get out of observing the National Day of Racial Healing?
Well, in part, what we were just saying about what Clarice said about this stops now, this has to stop now. And I think if you keep reminding people of that, this has to stop now. This has no place in our children's future. It has no place in this country. Mm-hmm. And be relentless about that. There's actually no wiggle room on that at all, none. And I think if you keep giving that message, you know, of, this is a no tolerance zone for racism, that's one thing. But also what you two do that's so important is bring perpetrators and victims, descendants of perpetrators and victims together at the table.
Yes.
That is essential. And I don't know very many people who are doing that. That's a really profoundly important thing you're doing.
Thank you.
Indeed. Yes, we are the Arkansas affiliate of Coming to the Tables, which is a national organization mm-hmm. that does just that. And tonight's movie that comes on after this interview is sponsored by the National Office of Coming to the Tables. That movie that we'll be watching is called Imaginary Walls, a documentary about racial healing. And we're so glad to mm-hmm. have this conversation with you to precede that movie, because I think everything that we're talking about right now ties in to what we're getting ready to watch right now.
Well, the coming to the table, I think that people's hearts open when they are offered the opportunity to heal together.
Yes.
And to not, you know, your ancestors did this. Yeah, that's, that humiliates the perpetrator, mm-hmm. or the DNA still in the perpetrator, like I say, as much as it humiliates the victim, you know, degrades and destroys. It destroys those who hate.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, I see that in our culture mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, humanity getting destroyed by hatred.
Yeah.
So coming to the table, that's, like I said, it's profound.
And we realize, and even through training and everything with the Minnesota Peace Building Institute, you know, what you just said is so true, is that everyone is victimized by racism.
Right.
Even the ones whose ancestors were the...
That has that DNA that she's talking
right,
about.
Right, were either complicit and just kind of ignored it, or they were actually the ones who was perpetuating the terror. Yeah. And so there's something that dies in a person.
Yes.
When they are, when evil is present and they are the ones that's perpetrating the evil, they also need healing. And so that's what we think about, and it's always in the forefront of my mind, is that just because your ancestors were the ones who were in the forefront of something that was an evil act, doesn't mean that you are the one pushed out there for everyone to persecute.
You don't have to carry the scarlet letter.
No, and that the healing needs to happen. And we need to be able to come to the table and recognize that and look at our humanity, who we are on the inside, and let's heal together from that. And so that's very important, and we try to.
Well, what you're saying is so true. You don't have to carry the scarlet letter, but you do have to be conscious.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
And what we said at the very beginning about it forms who you are, where you come from, and who your ancestors are, it can also form who you're not.
That's right. And
that's, I mean, the thing about losing your humanity because of evil, that's what scares me about what's going on right now, the white supremacy, because you see them sinking more and more into something that's not human, that's right. not part of our natural spirits.
Right.
And that's frightening. That's really frightening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're doing stopgap measures right now of like holding mm-hmm. off the tide of that, but also healing in the present, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's clear, but I know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, again, we thank you for being a part of our journey and allowing us to be a part of yours. And we'd like to give you an opportunity to go ahead and introduce your song, The Killing Field, and we'll let our viewers listen to that before we play the movie.
Kwame, should I say...
Before you do that, I yeah. want to ask you, Roseanne, is there anything that you wanted to ask us as an organization? Because I don't know that people, I don't know if we were very clear about, because we don't just go around bragging about someone who is so graciously decided to gift proceeds from their album. And Roseanne yes. Cash has gifted proceeds from the single Promised Land to our organization. And we're just so grateful for that. And we just wanted to, right, to APJMN, we just want to know, is there anything that you want to ask us? Is there anything that you would like to see our organization?
Well, I wouldn't presume to say what I would like to see. I think that the memorial part of what you do, that's what really intrigued me in the beginning. It's not like, I don't know, it's not like protests and mm-hmm. Kind of cognitive stuff. Mm-hmm. The memorial part of it is so touching and moving to me. Just the simple act of acknowledging lives lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess I want to ask you, I know the question I want to ask about your plans for expansion, like not physical expansion necessarily, but spiritual expansion, you know, heart expansion, program expansion. Like, what are your plans?
Ooh.
Well, our goal is to, there's 75 counties here in Arkansas, and our goal is to help each of the 75 counties mm-hmm. set up their own community remembrance projects where there we have 75 distinct communities that are putting these memorials together and coming to the table and having these discussions. So there's not necessarily some centralized entity trying to dictate to everybody what they should do and how they should do it, because we definitely believe that those 75 counties have 75 distinct communities that should be empowered to go through the journey like you and John went through together. And we just want to provide the scaffolding and the assistance to help them do that. So that's the main type of growth that we want to do. Mm-hmm. In doing the work that we do, I know me personally, I'm able to actually sit down and have some real meaningful conversations with white people that I haven't been able to have in my entire 50 years. Me being the great grand nephew of a victim of this racial terror, it's in my DNA, the hurt and the pain of the non-acknowledgement of what happened and who did what, that me, my brothers, my mother, my aunts, we've all, you know, kind of kept this in, and it's just now coming out. So there's some healing that we're doing just in the act of us doing what we're doing. How are you feeling about
as far
this?
As heart space for me, it's always like I will say that part of my work, other than being an advocate and someone who facilitates racial healing, is I come from healers. The process of active, of making sure that I always talk about showing up when I'm talking and facilitating with people, that we want to show up with our whole selves and not showing up as an obligation of some either religious obligation or just because you sympathize. Mm-hmm. That empathy in action is what is needed. And people know when they're being felt sorry for.
Yes.
Or that you are showing up for some other obligation other than your whole self.
Like check a box.
Like you want to be there. And yes. So that's part of the conversations that we have and we continue to have, is helping people have difficult conversations and courageous conversations, and also continuing to learn and heal ourselves because mm-hmm. we have generational trauma.
Yes.
From racial relationships or non-relationships. And so while we, as we do this work, we also heal. And yeah. as we continue to learn, we continue to teach. And so, you know, we'll just keep doing that.
Well, you put it much more succinctly than I did when you said generational trauma. That's exactly right. Have you gone into schools?
Yes.
Yes.
We actually started, even individually and collectively, we've worked with youth for most of our lives.
Oh, and great.
We have our nonprofit, the Ouachita Foothills Youth Media Arts and Literacy Collective, which was born working with young people in radio,
right?
In media and media arts. And so teaching active empathetic listening and also teaching them solutions-based journalism, which uh-huh. is, you know, we're just not talking about what happened or we're not figuring out or digging into information. We want to know what we can do to prevent it. What could have yeah. happened? You know, what can we do now? And so we try to work with students all the time. Even with building our website, we had students from high school
and college
help with the input of the
right.
That locating the mapping and all kinds of stuff. So we try to keep that going.
I think that's great. I mean, I always thought that middle school, it was important to get kids before they were brainwashed, you know?
Yes.
And what you said, empathy in action.
That's- yes, we worked with, like I said, our partner, Just Communities of Arkansas, with anti-bullying. So mm-hmm. we actually work with them in elementary school.
That's great.
We try to get them way before that. So they can continue on because there is where the innocence still
resides. Yeah.
And so we try to, so they can continue on that path. We help facilitate anti-bullying so that they can know that it's okay to be empathetic and it's okay to be loving to people and understanding and open-minded. And so we try.
And it's also okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Oh, I just love you guys. I admire you so much. And
we love and admire you too.
I feel very humbled by your work. You know, it's like I'm on the surface kind of saying, yeah, I need to, you know, but you guys are doing the boots on the ground stuff. And I really, really honor that.
Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
I just want you to know that your music and what you do and what you continue to do.
And the writing as well, because
right.
those liner notes that she wrote
yeah.
for.
Oh my God. It has a profound impact that, you know, we all have, and we talked about this on the radio because we have a show. We all have our place in the movement.
Yes.
And where, when I hear people say boots on the ground, I'm fine with that. But I think boots come in different forms.
They sometimes come in high heels.
Yeah. Boots come in stilettos. I just think boots is this right here. And you
That's
know what I mean?
Right. That is so true.
Yeah. And the guitar.
The pen is lighter than the sword.
Right. And
That's
the words.
Exactly right.
So, you know, if I got boots, you definitely have boots. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you.
And your husband and your family. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And you're a new grandmother.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So, in introducing the Killing Fields, do you want me to repeat what I said before or just?
No. You know,
say whatever
I think
you
what
want.
You said before was really clear on how you came.
Yeah,
to
well, yeah.
I just, I think I want to, I guess I want to wrap up, because I don't want to go because I just love you, but I know we have to. So what I want to say is, and I've said this to white communities when we speak with them, we have always said no more, never again. We've always said it. Has it stopped the hatred, the killing, and all of that? Has it been respected? Not really. We, as far as dismantling racism and racial, come say hello. Just peek your head over.
Hello.
Say hello.
Hello. How are you, you gorgeous thing?
This is Lauren.
Hi, baby. Hi, baby.
As okay, okay, I'll give you some.
in the oven.
Okay. What I've said is this, is that we've always done that, and we will continue to we'll continue to strive for and fight for equity, fairness, justice, peace, and all those things. The one thing that we are not equipped to do is dismantle a system that we did not create.
Right.
And we figured it out throughout the years. We've died figuring that out.
Yeah.
And our health has been affected by and large because we've tried to do that. And so what I tell white communities and friends is, I will support you in dismantling a system that I can't dismantle.
Yes.
You're gonna be the only ones that can do that. And so I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing, but know that I am support for what it is that you have to do. And so when you said, we're not going back to this, and we're not doing this anymore, it ends here in the killing fields, that the power from that coming from you, and them hearing that coming from you, is, it's like taking a sledgehammer to that construct and knocking the foundation, knocking some of that foundation and weakening it. And so you have done that in this song for me. So you're gonna make me start crying.
She's our own
crying. I'm a whole cry baby, Roseanne.
I am too. Well, Clarice, but I mean, I hear you, but I am only one small person with one song, you know?
I know.
And that's basically all I can do. I'm not, you know, Bryan Stevenson. I'm not you guys. And so
minimize that though. Please don't minimize that.
I'm not minimizing, but I am saying that my little chip in that and dismantling that, you know, it's all I can do, but I can keep saying it ends here. This can't go into the future. And that's what I said in the killing fields. It's not who we are now. It's not who we are now.
Right.
It's not who you are. It's not who I am. It's not who we are.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Love you guys.
And we appreciate you joining us for the National Day of Racial Healing. And we hope and pray that we'll continue our relationship. And maybe I've never been to New York. I know that's crazy. He's lived there. So maybe when all of this clears, then maybe we can come and visit and
come and visit. And then I'm hoping that next year I can be there for the National Day.
And we're so excited because we want to see the honor that you are receiving.
Well, I'll let you know about that, about ASU.
Yes.
All right,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We love you, and we are honored to have this time with you. And thank you.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You crossed on Brooklyn Ferry, not a boy but not a man. Left behind the Navy Yard and your father's mislaid plans. I was at the other ocean and I could not get away from the flurry of emergencies. Every single day, there was cotton on the killing fields. It blows down through the years. It sticks to me just like a burn. It fills my eyes and ears. And all that came before me is not everything I am. A girl who settled far too low, religion and that man. The low ebb of the rocky soil, the high tide of the trees, the dust of men and thunderstorms, the parched and rolling sea. He's running through the killing fields just like a hunted deer. Impartial moon, uncaring stars, he falls when no one hears. Runs on cypress trees cannot be washed away by mother's tears and gasoline and secrets unbetrayed. I know it's hard to hear these words, they sure are hard to say. But listen to the mockingbird who sings over their graves. Life unlived, the ghosts of mice and men, the empty space of one man's heart and what he might have been. Saint Margaret, she looks over us, Saint Margaret and her kin. At the far edge of the killing fields, she stands there now and then. So goodbye to your Navy Yard, goodbye to my sea. A truce between the East and West and my Southern history. And goodbye to the killing fields, I'll break every single bough. 'Cause all that came before you and all that came before me, and all that came before us, is not who we are now.